Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Neil Miller.
And I'm David Metzger, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Wait a second. You're not Kevin.
Nope. I sent him to California.
Really?
He's in the magical kingdom.
He went to the magical kingdom.
He did.
Yes, it is true.
The one that's
Kevin
not
Carr.
In the sky.
Kevin Carr is not with us. We sent him back to Earth. We're in the magical studio in the sky.
That's
Kevin
right.
is in Los Angeles at a press event for some kind of children's movie.
And he's sweating bullets. This is the first show that he's ever missed, and he's absolutely terrified.
I'm sure he is. He's very nervous.
He scripted everything to the letter.
I know. There's no way that we can't screw this up. So,
we gotta find a way.
we will find a way.
Where there's a will.
But before we get to screwing up the show, let's let you know where you can get a hold of us. You can get us at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can head over to iTunes and just search Fat Guys at the Movies and beautiful pictures of Kevin and myself, but not David Metzger, unfortunately, will pop up and you can just download. If you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Or if you'd like to give us a call, 614-388-8735. That's 388-TREK for all of you Trekkie fans who are disappointed by the fact that Star Trek got pushed back to 2009 this week.
You know, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they pushed it back to May 8th of 2009.
It's probably because they're so afraid.
Because of Simon Pegg?
Of you and your hatred for this movie.
Oh, yeah, they should be, because I tell you what, makes me angry.
I don't get it. I actually like J.J. Abrams' stuff.
I hope that there's not a part in the movie where there's supposed to be a twist, because it just won't pay off with J.J. Abrams. It'll be great. But I just don't like the casting. Like, I love Star Trek. I'm not a Trekkie, but it's cool, but the casting was terrible. Like, I love Simon Pegg, too. I don't think he's going to do very well.
As do I.
Anyways, well, we're here to talk about movies that are actually coming out this week, Valentine's Day. Wait a second. Well, you're married, so this is semi-understandable. But I'm totally single, and it's Valentine's Day, and we're here hanging out together.
Yeah.
Magical studio in the sky.
You know
what?
Deal with that? You know what makes me feel better about it? It's the fact that my wife is home working.
Oh, well, there you go.
So
you shouldn't.
It's not
feel
like
so bad.
We're missing some big, candlelight dinner or anything.
Yeah, me. Together. I got nothing.
You got Richard.
I have my roommate Richard.
Oh, that's kind of sad though, isn't it?
He's not even here either. Anyways, let's talk about some movies, eh?
Okay.
We'll start with Definitely Maybe, which is a Valentine's Day tale. Oh my God, can't believe it's coming out on Valentine's Day. About a man who falls in love with three women over his life.
I think you should tell me the story of how you met my mom.
Why do you keep saying my mom?
Because now that you're getting divorced, she's mine, not yours.
I had two serious girlfriends, and then there's some other smattering of other women.
What's the boy want for slut?
They still haven't come up with one yet. I'm going to tell you the story, and I'm not telling you who your mom is.
Fine.
You're just going to have to figure it out for yourself.
Good.
And I'm changing all the names and some of the facts. I just decided that right now because I make the rules, and then we're going to see how smart you are.
I like it. It's like a love story mystery. What's a threesome?
That's a game that adults play sometimes when they're bored.
What a stupid intro. Kevin wrote that intro. What a stupid intro.
Oh.
Remember, Definitely Maybe. Over his life. Now, Dave, you actually saw this one.
I did. I quite liked it.
Really?
Yeah, I will confess that, like most men, I tend to go into romantic comedies with a high fair amount of skepticism, but this one was quite enjoyable. It was funny. I mean, I think that it's funny because the ending, the movie doesn't really lend itself too well to a very happy ending.
Right.
I mean, since the setup is a guy getting divorced.
Right.
But the performances are good enough that it winds up winning you over. Ryan Reynolds is actually. That's his name, right?
Ryan. Yeah,
Ryan. It was quite good, and I've never been a big fan of his, but I quite liked him. And of course, Abigail Breslin's about the cutest thing on the planet.
Seriously,
yeah,
she's right there with Elle Fanning,
yeah.
Who is like the younger Fanning, who's way cuter than the older.
She and
Fanning.
Freddie Highmore are just gonna have to get married.
Seriously, or at least make out on screen. I mean, that's let's move on.
And the three women that are in it were quite good, although Isla Fisher was clearly had the best role.
Clearly hot.
And the most likable of the bunch.
Right, because she's hot.
Of course, Elizabeth Banks is no slouch.
That's
either.
Also true.
So, all right. So, cool. Ratings?
So, give it a grade.
Kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks. Okay, yeah. Cool. I didn't see it because I suck as a film critic. So,
hey, you saw 32 movies in a week?
I did. I saw 32 movies at Sundance. All right. I filled my quota for the whole year.
Yeah, we'll let you off the hook for missing this one.
The next one neither one of us saw. It is called Step Up to the Streets. That's a numeral two, not any kind of word. It's a sequel to the 2006 hit about high schoolers entering a hip-hop dance competition.
Are you ready to step up?
Look who's all grown up now.
So he's a player? I'm like an all-star.
Morning, sunshine.
What's your deal? Boy band's making a comeback?
Ooh.
It's like I've landed in an episode of The Hills.
There's a lot going on here under the radar. I think it's time we form a crew and compete at the streets. Trust me.
Wow.
Wow.
For a minute there, the magical studio in the sky was on hydraulics.
Right.
And we were
Here we go now.
You know what this sounds like? I didn't even watch a trailer before this. I'm not going to lie. I had no interest in seeing it. They screened it, so we can't give it a preemptive suck based on them not screening it. But
we just chose not to go.
We just chose not to see it because we knew it was going to suck. Despite the fact that Kevin said that he was going to go just because of the poster. Did you see the poster where it's raining and all the hot chick is half naked in the rain?
Show my general apathy for this movie. I didn't even look at the poster.
Yeah, so that's the first time I've even heard the trailer. And I will say that it just sounds like the kids from Laguna Beach decide that they're going to enter an urban dance contest. And it's a bunch of white kids. Trying to serve people, hip hop and stuff. Yeah, it's trying to serve people in the ghetto. Oh God, that's just
all sorts of wrong.
That's just a tough movie to even think about.
Well, I mean, who do they think is going to see this?
Oh, probably a bunch of people.
Really?
I don't know. When we get to box office, we'll talk about it. But I mean, the last one made $21 million.
Sorry,
the last one I think made $21 million its opening weekend.
Really?
Step Up. But that had Channing Tatum in it. I mean, he's a big star.
Wow.
He's going to play G.I. Joe.
Okay. I'm showing my age here. I realize that.
There's really nothing to say about this film other than if you are really into getting served, you should go see it.
And as you said, we can't give it a preemptive suck, so we'll give it a we're pretty sure
it's going to suck. Yeah. So our best guess is that it's going to suck. So there you have it. When we come back, we're going to talk about two movies that we both did see, The Spider-Man Chronicles and Jumper. We will be right back. And welcome back. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. Neil Miller and Dave Metzger is hanging out with me. We're in a Kevin-less universe right now.
Which means we're not really fat guys at the movies.
No, we're one fat guy and one tall, skinny guy.
You're very kind.
Well, you are taller and skinnier than I am.
I was just going to say that we're not fat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, I'm not that fat.
No. You're not fat at all.
I don't know if you guys have visited the website, fatguysmovies.com, but you'll notice that Kevin's really the fat one. It's okay. He's not here. I can talk about him. So
easy and fun. Making fun of Kevin.
But let's talk about some movies. More movies. We talked about Definitely Maybe and Step Up to the Streets in the last segment. But now we're going to talk about two movies that both of us have seen. Probably the two bigger movies of the weekend. Of the Valentine's Day weekend. And the first one is Jumper, which stars Hayden Christensen as a man who can teleport but must flee for his life when he's targeted by a mysterious group called Paladins.
There are people out there who have power.
Did I just teleport?
What I'd like to know is how you rob a bank without opening any doors.
You think you could go on like this forever? Living like this with no consequences?
There are always consequences.
Why are you walking? I like walking for a change. Makes me feel normal.
Dave, there are always consequences.
Yes, like Sam Jackson with white hair.
Dude, that guy is awesome.
He's awesome, but why?
I don't understand the white hair thing at all. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't improve his... I could see if for some reason jumping through portals and wormholes and stuff made your hair go white. And that's why all the jumpers were blonde, and that's why he was blonde. But that's not in the movie.
But I mean, but not even all the jumpers were blonde. I mean, the Irish dude was had brown hair.
He had brown hair. So that, see, that throws my whole theory out the window.
Right. See, well, that's what you get for trying to give them that much credit.
And I guess that's probably one of the problems I had with this film is that I was watching it, and it's written by David S. Goyer, who did Batman Begins, and it's directed by Doug Liman, who you remember from Mr. and Mrs. Smith,
Go,
Born Identity.
Right. Swingers has not made a bad movie, in my opinion.
And sitting there watching it, I'm like, man, this is not their level of filmmaking.
No. I mean, it's easily the worst movie that Liman's done. And it's, you know, and it lives and dies on the special effects. And the effect scenes, the action sequences are actually a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed that part of it. But this is what I'll say about it. My colleague Will Harris at Bullseye really summed this up perfectly. He said that the movie was like a pilot episode for a really intriguing TV show, because you get the setup of he can teleport, but they never explain why. You've got the origins of it. There's a great family backstory that would, you know, you could spend years breaking down. So all the elements are there for a really good TV series, but it made for a really shallow movie. Yeah. And of course, it doesn't help when you've got Hayden Christensen as the lead.
Yeah, and Hayden Christensen is probably the biggest problem with the film, aside from the fact that I just felt like it was a big montage. Like I said in my review, I said it's never good when I'm watching a pseudo serious sci-fi flick, and the first thing that pops into my mind is a song written by Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Oh yeah,
we need a montage. Even Rocky had a montage.
Gotta fade out in a montage.
Yeah, it's an 88 minute movie that feels like it's 60 minutes long, because it goes by so quickly, and that's a problem. I honestly think that they could have added not more Hayden Christensen, but more cool action stuff and or more plot development to this film, made it 110, 115 minutes long, and we, you know, I would have enjoyed it a whole lot more.
I agree, and I wonder if the budget is what kept the running time so short, if they realized the plot just wasn't working, and so they just went straight for the,
straight for the jumping shots, which it's probably one of the coolest concepts we're going to see from a movie, you know, in the early part of the year.
Yes.
Even when we get to summer movies like Hellboy, Batman, Indiana Jones, all this other stuff, that there's nothing creative about Indiana Jones. You know, it's just, where's he going to go?
No,
you know?
Although he's got some new whip techniques.
He's got some
apparently
cool stuff that we're going to talk about later after when we talk about the trailer. But, you know, it's not unique, as unique as something like Jumper.
Right.
And I think it just got wasted I don't want to call it bad filming, because I don't think Doug Liman's a bad filmmaker. I just think Hayden Christensen, very stale.
Yeah. Rachel Bilson,
not that
interesting. She's done better. Yeah. And, I mean, the good actors in this movie have very limited screen
Samuel
time. Diane
L.
Lane,
Jackson.
Samuel Jackson.
Yep. Jamie Bell. It's very good. The British guy. Yeah. He was awesome.
I love the fact that, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, that in the middle of the movie, Hayden Christensen starts calling him by his character's name, but I don't remember him being introduced
under
that name.
So.
He just starts calling him his name.
Yeah.
Where is that scene where he's like,
I think,
my name's Griffin? You know.
I think Hayden Christensen just made that up. He's like, I think I can make this movie better.
Right.
So,
So
let's give it a grade.
I gave this 3 stars on a 5-star scale, which is right in the middle of your thing, but I mean, if I have to say kind of sucks or kind of rocks, I'm still going to say kind of rocks.
Yeah, just because
just
concept.
Barely.
I'm with you. I'm saying kind of rocks solely based on the fact that it is so cool when they're jumping back and forth. So,
right. But not Liman's finest hour.
Yeah, definitely did not live up to all of the marketing that went behind it.
No.
So no, moving on to something that the concept is a little aged. It's The Spiderwick Chronicles. It's a film adaptation of a popular children's book about a boy who discovers fantastic creatures living among us.
Do not dare to read this book. Arthur Spiderwick's Field Guide.
Dear reader, you will soon see that there are fantastical creatures living among us.
Why can't I see you?
You don't see us. Now you do. But only if we want you to.
But be forewarned, a rare few are, quite frankly, to be feared.
Keep the book safe from the ogre.
Ogre?
Give me the book!
And, This is one of those movies I really liked.
I did too. We've been inundated with a bunch of movies aimed at kind of the tweener, like it's like the Potter for tweeners,
right? It's the older Harry Potter,
like Aragon and the Seeker, and most of them don't work. Most of them were actually really bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I really like this one, and I liked it. I think because it didn't try to. It wasn't this really big, grand, epic. Story. It was actually a rather simple one, and
right,
I think that economy of scale worked in its favor.
Yeah, I completely agree. I can appreciate the fact that it didn't try to be any bigger than it needed to be.
Right.
It was a very small story. It's about a kid and his family. And Freddie Highmore actually plays two characters. He plays both brothers, and they have a sister and the mom, recently divorced. Go figure. It's a family. I'm surprised it's not a Disney movie with divorced parents.
I know. Well, the mother's not dead, so it can't
right,
be
she's
a
not
Disney
dead.
Movie.
Yes, nobody gets killed. Then he meets these monsters, or he finds this book, opens the book, monsters come out, and then he meets the one that looks like Nick Nolte, which I thought was awesome. I mean, Nick Nolte plays the bad guy. I mean, there's the evil, right. I don't know, what is he, a troll? Mulgarath is his name.
Yeah, he's kind of bigger than a troll, but he looks kind of like that famous mugshot of him.
Yes, it does. And even when the monster, he takes human form at one point, but when he turns back into the monster, he literally looks like Nick Nolte still.
And what
I thought that was awesome.
Jason Zingale and I were joking about was the only thing better than Freddie Highmore, two Freddie Highmores.
Yes. So and he's a good little actor.
He is a good little actor. He's just got to stay away from fluff like August Rush.
Right. Yeah. If he can continue to make good movies or take on good projects, I think. I honestly think this is probably one of the unsung films. It's going to go down as one of the unsung films of the first half of the year.
Yeah, I agree. I hope it finds an audience, but I'm a little worried that there might be a fatigue factor setting in with these kinds of movies. But,
so
this one deserves an audience. I hope it finds one.
And another notable is that one of the characters is voiced by Seth Rogen.
That's right.
And you won't pick it out until the end, because I remember us in the screening.
I was going crazy trying to figure out who it was, and then you whisper in my ear, that's Seth Rogen. I'm like, oh, thank God he finally told me. And then as soon as you said it, I'm like, well, of course it is.
Yeah, totally makes sense. He was good. I think it was well acted. It was well put together. I enjoyed it a little bit more than I did the last Harry Potter movie.
I agree.
Because you don't have to have any context to it. You could just go into it, enjoy it. It's all three books in one movie. It works.
And I watched the Potter movie a second time, and I actually did like it a little bit more the second time, but I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, it was after Azkaban, which is still my favorite of the Potter movies. They've kind of lost a step.
I agree. Cool. So let's give it a grade.
What do you say? I'm going to say rocks.
I'm gonna say rocks as well. Whoa!
Agreed.
This is.
Well, I'm not Kevin. You're allowed to agree with me.
I'm allowed to agree with you.
We have taste.
We can't fight. Oh, that's true. I forgot about that whole taste thing.
How could you?
Anyways, when we come back, we're gonna do a little box office and we're gonna run down a little bit of a top eight list. We'll be right back.
Flowers lonely, burn out slowly. Like a cigarette, but you kiss me.
And welcome back to Fat Guys. The movies, we're rolling right through. We've now done reviews. We've also done more reviews.
We've even reviewed movies we haven't seen.
We've reviewed stuff that we haven't seen. We've made fun of Kevin Carr, who is not here, if you haven't noticed by now. I mean, seriously, if you haven't realized Kevin's not here by now, you should shut off the show and go hit yourself in the head with a tack hammer. I mean, honestly. But in honor of Kevin, we're going to do box office now. Let's see if I can offend anybody else. So coming out on the top box office last weekend was Fool's Gold, which starred Matthew McConaughey and what's her name?
And former Chris Robin, Mrs. Chris Robinson.
Yes, Kate Hudson. It finished at $21 million. Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins, which you just mentioned to me earlier that you thought was going to win the weekend.
Oh, sure.
Finished at $16 million, which I honestly thought it was going to do better than that, too. I thought it would be a little bit closer.
I did. I guess I can't compete with Matthew McConaughey taking his shirt off.
That is true. I mean, if he takes his shirt off and she shows up in a bikini, we're usually in pretty good shape.
Right. Speaking You've of seen people, that video, right?
Yes.
The one of Matt Damon.
Which Matt Damon
doing the impression of Matthew McConaughey?
No. Does he just take his shirt off?
It's on Letterman. No, he used to live with McConaughey, so he does a pitch-perfect impression of
that's
him.
That's awesome.
So you've got it. It's on YouTube. Just just type, Damon McConaughey Letterman.
Cool.
And he's just like, well, I'm from Kilgore, Texas, so we like take our shirts. It's, I can't do it justice. It's spot on.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to check that out after the show here.
Yes.
But we've got Hannah Montana in the third spot. I think this is the last week that it's in theaters, right?
Well, they're going to keep saying that until people just finally stop going.
Until people stop going. I mean,
right.
It's only in 687 theaters, and it made $10 million.
That's insane. Were they scalping tickets for that, too? Or were they charging $2,000
They were. I was only charging $1,500, though, for that one, for all the tickets that I had.
Because you're generous. You're a giver.
I am. I am a giver. So, and I have a funny story related to Miley Cyrus. Funny and also very inappropriate story. But my roommate Richard, who's our producer on the show here, bought a digital camcorder this week. So this is my message to Miley Cyrus: in a few years, when you turn 18, you come find me. We're gonna make a video.
See, this is why I'm glad I have a son and not a daughter.
Yes.
Is because of people like you.
Well, you know. I think a lot of people are glad that they have sons and not daughters. Two people like me.
TwoRichardsOneHannah.com. Book the URL now.
Oh man. Oh, we
Yikes.
Really need to stop talking about this. We
oh,
are.
Boy.
This is the radio show. The radio segment of the show. So we're gonna have to stop there. We'll continue in the internet only.
Probably have gone too far. Whoops.
So finishing in the fourth and fifth spots, we had The Eye, and then Juno just keeps on trucking up to $117 million.
That's just, that is cool in so many ways. I can't even begin to
It is awesome. And
explain.
To our friend Bill Clark, who absolutely hated the film. There you go. That's all we have to say to you. So moving on to next week, or this coming weekend, the February 14th. Valentine's Day weekend. I keep forgetting what holiday it is. I want to say like Easter or Christmas, but it's Valentine's Day.
It's President's Day, technically.
Is it President's Day weekend?
Yeah, Monday.
Is it Monday?
Yeah.
Wow. So do we have to predict to connect the dots from Valentine's Day to President's Day now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So this
is
really
a five-day weekend?
Yeah, this is a five-day weekend. Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is so tough. I'm not that good at three-day weekends.
No.
So this is really going downhill quick.
I know.
But we have Spiderwick in 3,800 theaters. We've got Jumper in 3,400. We've got Step Up to the Streets in 2,500, roughly, and Definitely Maybe in only 2,200. But I think Definitely Maybe's got a little bit of an advantage in the sense that it's a chick flick.
It's the most timely of the releases, and I'm surprised that they're only putting it in that many theaters. I figured it would have at least another 500 or 600 theaters.
Right. I mean, why wouldn't they put it closer to 3,000?
Right.
But
What are they afraid of? It's a good movie. They should.
They're afraid of Matthew McConaughey taking his shirt off. Is what they're afraid of.
I guess. I don't know. But I guess they're just afraid of Jumper. I think that's probably going to be the biggest moneymaker this weekend.
I think Jumper will probably take it. I want the Spiderwick Chronicles to do very well.
So do I.
I don't know if it's gotten out there. I don't know if it's getting the word of mouth that it needs to.
Well, we're also not watching the programming that they're doing the most saturated advertising on. I'm sure if you watch Nickelodeon or Disney Channel, those stations are just getting flooded with ads, and their kids are going, Mom, take me to see this. So.
Yeah, if Kevin were here, he'd be like, well, I was watching Nickelodeon with my kids the other day.
Yeah,
and
with
I
his
saw
kids.
Four commercials.
He says,
yeah.
You know he watches that
by
himself
totally
in his spare time.
He makes fun of me
SpongeBob
for my
SquarePants.
Yep, he makes fun of me for liking Miley Cyrus, but you have no idea. He is so he's so Raven.
He's so.
I feel bad for Kevin now.
Why?
Because he's not here. He should be taking this beating.
Hey, his
like
choice.
A man. Yes, that's true. He is at a Disney function.
Right.
We don't know what that means.
That's just wrong. That's so wrong.
And on so many levels.
We should hit like a TMZ or Smoking Gun just to see if he's already been arrested.
Midwestern film critic takes out young actress.
Right. I knew that guy was trouble, says Jamie Kennedy.
Oh, man.
You want to explain that one?
the whole with the with we talked about it on the show one time where Kevin was it was in Jamie Kennedy's movie.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And he was verbally abused by Jamie Kennedy in a movie. Which and you know what? It was funny because it was a bad movie about film critics who trash bad movies. So it was just a really bad movie. It was like a bad situation.
It sounds like it's just gonna implode on itself.
Yes. It was like the nuclear bomb of movies. It was atrocious. But wow. Anyways, back to the box office. So I don't know, what do you think? Who's you said you think Jumper's
I think Jumper's going to be first. I think definitely Maybe's going to be second. But you know what?
It's got a chance.
Yeah, but you know, I'm also saying that cuz it's skewed more towards my demographic,
right?
Old. And so I mean, for all I know, Step Up to the Street, To the Streets,
To the Streets.
To, oh yeah, I guess it's not THA The Streets.
Yes.
That could completely surprise me. I mean, it I don't could. Know. I mean, I'm just not that hip. Movie's not aimed at me, so
right. I don't you're know, I mean, you're not too legit to quit.
Oh, you did not just say that. There is no quitting.
That's what I think of every time I see that title. I'm like, too legit to quit.
Don't give me any credit.
I'm trying to do the hand signals. I don't know.
You're stop.
I'm just
quit while you're behind.
It's gone. But I do agree with you. I think it's going to be Jumper. I think it's either going to be Definitely Maybe or Spiderwick, depending on which demographic catches on to the movie. And then Step Up 2, I think, is a solid number 3, no matter who's number 2.
Really? I was going to say, I think maybe Fool's Gold might hang on. But then again, word of mouth might kill it because it's supposed to be awful, right?
Yeah.
I skipped that one.
Except I think Kevin gave it a good grade.
Did he? Jason but hated it.
That's how Kevin rolls.
Yeah.
So
that is how he rolls.
He loves Matthew McConaughey with his shirt off. That's all I'm going to say about that.
God.
So there you have it. There's the box office. We're moving on because we have a very cool top list. And I say top list, not top 10 list, because it's only 8. But I think this is probably one of the more creative lists that has ever been done on this show. Because we usually do like top 10. We went through a bunch of them, like top 10 movies with one single word names and top 10 young actors for Freddie Highmore. And we ended
Abigail
with
Abigail Breslin.
We ended with this list, which actually came from your wife.
My wife, you should hire her as a writer. She's the best writer of pretty much all of us.
Yeah, probably.
She just popped this one completely out of the blue, and it was 8 alternate career opportunities for Hayden Christensen.
Yes.
We were complaining about how wooden he was in Jumper. The whole Manic and Skywalker joke kind of presents itself here. So we thought, well, all right, he clearly has no business being in the movie. So what other career paths would be more suitable to his skills, quote unquote.
So we came up with 8, and I'll get us started here. The first one is to play the Terminator in McGee's Terminator Salvation film that is currently in production. We figure if he's going to stay in acting, which I'm sure he wants to, because there's money in it, he might as well do something where he doesn't talk
play to his strengths.
Play to his strengths and be very emotionless as the Terminator.
You could spend 90 minutes having Christian Bale beat him senseless. I will see the movie. I will go right back to the box office and pay to see it again.
Yes, I will just continue to see it over and over. It will get A pluses from every film critic we know. We will threaten people if necessary. So, McGee, if you're out there.
I don't think it'll be necessary.
I don't think it'll be necessary because everyone will think that's awesome. So, and up next.
Zachary Quinto's stunt double for Star Trek. This was yours. I mean, this is clearly all you and your
the Star Trek
your movie. Hatred for J.J. Abrams and what he's doing.
Well,
to Star
Trek.
Well, yeah,
I just figured if because Vulcans are very emotionless.
Yes,
and he's obviously not that good of an actor to play the role of Spock. But
right,
he could be the stunt double.
Be the stunt double. He could be like the illegitimate child. But that would,
He could be the Vulcan stand-in. I don't know. Like Vulcan in the back. That'll be his title.
Or just put him in a red shirt and blast him.
If it was him getting hit with a photon beam for 90 minutes.
Christian Bale just pops in and kills him again.
No, Eric Bana's in this one. We could have Eric Bana beat on him for 90 minutes, and then that movie would be awesome.
I could live with that.
J.J. Abrams, if you're listening. So, and
call
then
us.
The next one is spokesperson for Ritalin.
Yes.
Be very easy to explain how calm Ritalin makes you if you're naturally that calm.
Or just that void of emotion.
Yes.
Anything that makes you human.
Oh, man. Moving along here.
All right, this one was yours.
This one also mine, replacement for Vanna White. All he has to do is flip the letters.
Flip the letters and smile and
smile and walk back and by.
Do the little elbow, elbow, wrist, wrist, wrist kind of wave.
Yep, because I mean, at this point, Vanna's got to be getting kind of old, so she's going to need somebody to connect.
I mean, she's been doing this for over 20 years.
I mean, I know. Yeah, I mean, so anyways, right. Moving right along.
Okay, this one was yours as well, but credit card charge dispute hotline.
Yes.
Because, you know,
who better to deal with really angry people
than right,
than someone who has no emotions whatsoever.
Right. I mean, I can picture him just diffusing any really tense negotiation just by being himself.
Just by being himself.
The people just lose the or will to fight back. They just go, okay, nice. You win.
And the last, this is actually my last one, but we have two more, is hand model. Because if you don't see his face, he's that much more interesting. Right. So that's all I have to say about that. The last two are totally yours.
Okay. Department store mannequin. You know, again, back to the whole mannequin Skywalker thing.
Oh, yeah.
We think totally. He would.
Plus, he looks good in a nice shirt. So,
sure.
You know, that could work for him. He could make that work.
He could. And then the last one, and this is the one that will surely get us sued. Tom Cruise's significant other. I came up with this because I just realized that anyone who starts dating Tom Cruise just loses like any ounce of personality. They all just kind of sound like zombies.
Well, it's
war brides. That's
part of the Scientology process.
Is it?
Yes.
Where they just keep saying amazing over
they
and over again.
They suck your will to live out of you.
And
then take your money.
And then take your money. Yes, exactly. For the low, low price of $95,000.
You know what? I'm surprised. I'm just angry I didn't think of it a long time ago that to start my own religion like that.
It's not too late.
Maybe I will when we come back. And we're back here on Fat Guys in the Movies, and I am finishing up my book, which is called Fat Guyanetics.
Fat Guyanetics.
Which will be the basis for a currently unnamed religion that you will have to pay money to be a part of. But you'll want to be a part of it because we're going to get celebrities like Thomas Jane. We're going to get Tom Jane. Because we know him. Like, I'm just thinking of all the celebrities I know, and it's pretty much Tom Jane.
I bet you Trey Parker would help you fund.
Trey Parker, yeah. Because I'm pretty sure he's, yeah, totally. He's been a very big, he's been very impactful on my life. So, but there was a funny story. I think somebody told George Lucas that he should start his own religion back in the day. It was, what's his name? The guy who directed The Godfather.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, he told George Lucas, back when he was a nutcase, he told George Lucas that he should start his own religion after Star Wars came out. And, you know,
didn't a group of people actually try to start a religion based around the tenets of the Force?
It was called Jediism. Wow, bad jokes. Anyways.
Whackety schmackety doo.
It is time to sound off. We've got tons
of
awesome topics.
Holy cow, do we have tons of stuff to talk about.
Yes, we are into, and just in case you have no idea how you're getting us right now, we're into the internet-only segment, so if you're listening to us and this is on the radio, somebody did something wrong.
Cock, balls.
Yes, we can swear, so damn.
Take off the earmuffs.
So we're going to, and we decided to move the sound off segment to the internet only segment because we're going to swear pretty profusely by the time we're done with this.
Well, not only that, we have so many things to talk about. There's no way we would have covered all this in 10 minutes, 12 minutes. So we're going to riff.
We're just going to wing it.
We're freestyling.
So we'll start with the Writers Guild of America strike. It is over. Woo-hoo! Officially. 92% of people voted this past Tuesday. Or 92% of writers in the Writers Guild.
Now, have they revealed what the producers gave up or were conceded in the deal? Are we ever going to know?
Maybe. Well, the only thing that they said was that they're getting a percentage of digital media. So they're getting a percentage of online stuff.
Okay.
Which is more than they were getting before.
Which was nothing. Right. Yeah.
So I guess from where I'm sitting, it's just good that it's over. You know, they can all go back to work. I feel better for them as people and for the fact that the office is coming back in April. So,
right. Well, I mean, you know, it's really funny. Selfishly, I've been kind of glad that the strike has been on because I blog.
Because you're a huge American Gladiators fan?
I blog 24. And, you know, and it actually is, after a while, it gets to be a hard show to blog. I mean, especially from last season when it just tanked the way it did. So I've kind of enjoyed the reprieve of not having to blog on something, you know, every week.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm ready.
I think to do it again.
I think I'm whole again. I can start doing it.
You're so, ready for 24 now. The rumor is that the 24 is not coming back until the fall.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they have how many shows do they have in the can? What, 8 hours?
A couple of them, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a third of the day.
How did they? A third of the day. That's probably like 6 seasons, right?
What's
or is my math wrong?
What?
No. Okay. Probably not.
No. I mean, I just get. I mean, 8 hours.
8 hours is 8 shows.
Right, and that's a third of a day. I mean,
that's a third of it. Right, because each show is an hour. It's one real day. Time. Stupid 24. God. That's why I don't watch that show.
Have another beer, Neil.
It's really confusing.
you guys ever done one of these shows while drinking?
I drink a lot during the show. This week I'm not drinking.
He's drinking water. Don't listen to him.
But I do. Last week I had a couple drinks before the show.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, I work with Kevin. So you got to be a little.
He could drive people to drink. I can understand.
And I know we've speaking of drinking, we've got everybody pretty much committed to doing drunken commentary. The entire Central Ohio Film Critics Mafia,
yes,
is ready to go.
What movie are we gonna do?
I don't know. We've just got to find one.
Right.
We've just got to randomly pick one that none of us have seen.
Oh, so we're not gonna see it?
Or maybe we'll.
See, I figured we'd have to see it at least once, just so we can talk about what's about to happen.
I thought the Paris Hilton movie would probably be. A good one.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, we don't even need to see them. We don't even need to watch the movie. We just do commentary. Just find out the runtime and we'll be like, and some more crap happened.
Right.
And Paris Hilton was there. So I don't know. Moving on. Second topic is that we had some screenings get canceled once again.
Yeah. The best movie that they were going to show us, they decided to yank at the last minute. Actually, not even the last minute. I mean, this was taken off of our schedule at the beginning of January.
Right. Because they switched the release date.
And they didn't make an announcement about it. They just kind of quietly just got rid of them.
And never. And I don't think, had you not asked, nobody would have ever really. Yeah. I mean, maybe next week we would have been like, wait a second, Be Kind Rewind comes out. That's the movie in question.
Right. And then she said, nope, they just pulled all the screenings. And so Neil wrote this fantastic post for Film Score Rejects and actually got a response from New Line
some
who were
people,
stating that who went on to list a whole bunch of markets in the Midwest where the movie was screening. And they actually listed us.
Right. They listed Columbus. And I was like, wait, Sonny Jim.
Yeah.
That's not true. And so there seems to be, you know, there was a little bit of confusion there. I guess the point is that it always brings us back to the argument that why do they not screen certain movies? You know, it's I understand why they don't screen Saw 4.
Right.
It's a horror
Rambo.
Movie and Rambo. Those are bulletproof movies.
Yes.
They're going to do their box office whether
regardless.
We like them or not.
Right.
But Be Kind Rewind to me, and it's a film that I saw when I was at Sundance.
Yeah, you loved it, right?
Yeah, and loved it. And, you know, honestly, I'm glad that I saw it because it was great. But I think it's one of those movies that will need a little bit of help.
It
will
definitely benefit from some good press.
Right. It'll need some good press behind it. And I know the reviews it's getting aren't that great. A lot of people I talked to at Sundance, some people didn't like it. I punched them all in the face because their opinion is obviously just wrong. So
what didn't they like about it?
I have no idea. They couldn't come up with it. And I was like, there you go. You're getting punched in the face now. So... But
I drink your milkshake.
Yeah, I no, drank.
You know what? Don't even get me started.
Drank their
that.
Milkshake. I punched him in the side of the thigh, and it was great.
Stab him in the jaw.
In the jaw. Yeah. Well, I just watched Beowulf, so I ripped out their heart.
I walk in here, and he's got the main menu for Beowulf playing in the background. So it's just like thunder, thunder, crash, crash, crash. I am Beowulf! Over and over and over again.
Over and over and over again. And then somehow, faintly, we heard Kevin in the background, even though he's not here, go,
Beowulf.
So, holy crap, what were we talking about? The screenings. I think we're done with that. We're not... You won't see a lot of reviews for Be Kind Rewind except for mine because no one else made the trip to Sundance. I don't blame them. It was very cold there. But it's sad that it all got screwed up. Anyways, right. Moving on. We've got Hanoi Jane Fonda and her use of the C word on live television. There's really nothing else you can say about
no,
this.
No, not really. It's funny.
People are making a big deal about
it. People get so angry whenever you even mention Jane Fonda's name. I'm not one of those people. I'm not, you know, I couldn't care less.
I don't even remember why they call her Hanoi Jane. It's something about Vietnam, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she was She was a protester. I mean, she wanted to bring the boys home, and
there were a lot of protesters.
Yeah,
there's a lot of protesters for this war.
Yeah, but there were. I mean, she was one of the few that I guess used her celebrity as a platform.
Yeah.
She was a pioneer.
So
in that
she was
regard.
Like the pre Alec.
We have her to thank for all of these.
For all these crazy celebrities,
right? No blood for. Like, shut up. Anyway, so yeah, I'm just kind of immune.
Yeah.
To anything she does. But and the way that she used it, it's like she didn't actually call anyone that. It was in reference to the vagina monologues, right?
Right.
So she was talking about how they invited her to like read one of them, and that was what it was called.
Right.
And so she was just saying that. That was dumb.
Yeah.
She should have known better. But right. it slipped underneath, like, because who's she was talking with?
Oh, I don't even know.
You know, they didn't even react. But of course they couldn't. I mean, what can they say?
Yeah, it would just be like me going on like the news and talking about the play that I'm doing called The Cock Monologues. I mean, yeah.
It's about chickens, right?
It's about chickens.
Yes.
It's not about what you would think.
Yeah.
It's
will they fight to the death?
Yeah. My segment is actually called Cockfight.
Cockfight.
Yes.
It was written. That was a movie that came out.
It was written by Will Ferrell
about a year ago. Did you hear about that?
No.
The cockfighter movie had Wilford Brimley in it.
Yes.
And our guy Will Harris Brimley. He quoted me some line that Wilford Brimley has to say. I think it was just something about, you know, are you man enough? Cockfighter or something like that. It's just the most ridiculous line.
That's drunken commentary material right
okay.
there.
All right, there you go.
Cockfight.
Cockfight. That's our drunken commentary.
Sweet. Oh, yeah. I can't wait. So moving right along here, we're not even close to being done with this list.
No.
So
no,
it's going to be a while.
Get comfy.
Michael Bay came out this week and said that he has already written Transformers 2.
Yeah, this is news to me. Michael Bay's a screenwriter. Do you have any idea?
I seriously wanted to go jump off of a building when I heard this. I was
and
like,
you love Michael Bay.
I love Michael Bay. I was like, please don't let him write. It's like dating the really hot but dumb girl. And then she applies to go on to Jeopardy.
Well, what
and you're
it
like,
is,
no.
Right.
She's walking in.
Well, he said it was just a template. So what it is it's like, okay, I'll blow shit up here,
exactly.
here, and here. You know?
Right. My theory is that he went out into his backyard and tested some explosions and blew some shit up. And he was like, okay, we're going to blow that up in the first act.
Right.
And then we're going to blow this up in the second act. And then like Robert Orsi and Alex Kurtzman come along and they're like, oh my God, we have to just try and plug some crappy dialogue in here and make this a movie.
Right.
And
hey, Shia, come here. What is it? Nothing. It's just some C4. Just,
just hold on
still.
To it.
Everything will be fine. Okay. Ready? Run.
And that's the second part of the story is that Shia LaBeouf was interviewed this week, and he said that he saw some of the outline, and he said it's massive, and there's all kinds of more Transformers, and that makes me excited.
Well, massive, you mean?
Like more massive than the first
than
one?
Than the first one, but I mean, you know, that's not exactly
I mean, Shia
a
LaBeouf's
positive
like,
word, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's a lot of stuff blowing up.
Right.
Which you
is,
know
what else do you want?
I think the best quote was Shia LaBeouf. He said Mike has... just his brain is wired for this. And I think that's just the perfect quote. Michael Bay is wired to direct like 8 more Transformers movies during his career. And I think they will make tons of money.
He better keep Spielberg on as an executive producer though, because I think that was the only reason that movie was as watchable as it was because Spielberg was there to rein him in and say, remember there's a story here,
people actually have to talk and then the Transformers have to talk back and somebody has to connect emotionally.
I'm assuming Spielberg wasn't around when they did that when they wrote that whole scene of the Transformers in his backyard.
that was Steven Spielberg's day
off.
God. He was out planning that new Indiana Jones movie.
That was on Kevin's gag award list. That was a nominee for a cinematic travesty
I'm not going to lie, that was pretty bad even though I love the movie. So, right. But speaking of Steven Spielberg,
yes.
We had the Indiana Jones.
Nice segue.
Yeah. I'm getting good at this. We don't need no Kevin Carr. But we had the Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull trailer drop on Good Morning America, the morning of Valentine's Day. So, if you're listening to us this weekend and you haven't seen it yet, it's online. I don't know why you haven't seen it.
Everywhere.
It's every website just was all over it. So you've seen it? What'd
you
think?
Yeah, I've seen it twice. I think it looks cool. I think it's very interesting that Indy has suddenly become like a web slinger with his with his whip.
He's much more agile in his old age than he was.
Right. Maybe he needs the whip to get himself around because he can't run as fast. So they just have him kind of flying from place to place.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Shia is there for the running. You know,
I thought it was, you know, it's pretty cool. I'm excited.
I hope it looks I hope it's good. I really do.
It looks like it's going to be pretty, you know, silly and fun and
right. You know, as long it couldn't possibly be as bad as Temple of Doom. So I'm sure it'll be fine.
Fair enough.
Right.
Moving right along to Al Pacino. There's no way to make a segue to that, to go from Indiana Jones to Al Pacino. But Al Pacino is being rumored as the new mastermind behind the bad stuff that happens to James Bond in the next James Bond movie. He's the next bad guy in the Bond movie.
This was the first I'd heard about this.
It's just a rumor at this point that I started earlier on the web by myself.
Wait, actually, no, Ain't a Cool News started it, right?
Harry Knowles started it, and I'm just helping further it along.
Because you should believe everything that Ain't a Cool News says.
Yeah, definitely.
Their writers aren't on the take or anything like that. You know what? I stopped reading them after they gave a rave to Deep Blue Sea.
Ooh.
I saw that, and I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm done with you. And I've never read their site again.
About Deep Blue Sea, but, I mean, a shark eats Samuel L. Jackson. I mean, it's kind of
that was the best scene in the movie.
Like a movie with Samuel L. Jackson with white hair,
right?
You know, I mean, take that for what you want.
Okay, there were two things in Deep Blue Sea that were worth checking out: Sam Jackson,
getting
eaten,
and Saffron Burroughs,
and Saffron Burroughs stripping to her skivvies. Yeah, that was
to fight a shark
for no reason.
Yep,
it's except like, for a cheesecake shot, and I'm like, okay.
It's kind of like in Beowulf, where he just gets naked to fight the monster randomly,
right?
Why are you
just to
naked?
Turn it into Austin Powers?
Yeah, so. Pretty awesome. What do you think? Al Pacino, Bond bad guy? Is he fit?
Personally, no. I don't think he does. But, you know, I was one of the few that actually wasn't that fond of Casino Royale. So, you know, to me, this doesn't make the next movie any better or any worse.
Right. It's already had a crappy title, so.
Oh, yeah.
Quantum of Solace.
What the hell is that?
It's the longest, most confusing. You're not going to be able to sell that in America. Like, Quantum people in Europe will understand because they've read encyclopedias and stuff,
right.
But people in middle America are gonna be like, "What the hell does that mean?"
Right, Quantum of Solace. Yeah, it's got to be a working title. There's no way that's gonna be the final.
No, that's the final title they announced.
So it's not too late.
They should have just called it 007. It's so much easier for people to understand their numbers.
Right.
So, anyways, I don't know. I think Al Pacino, as long as he's crazy and evil, that's fun.
Right.
So
I did like him in Ocean's 13. As long as he plays down. Mm-hmm. It'll be fine.
Yeah, as long as
but
it's not.
What scares me is that they're gonna, you know, being a villain, they're gonna, you
right,
know, let him
over the top.
Let him, you know, right, get huge, and that would
they
be disastrous.
Ruin the movie, but anyways,
exactly.
This next one's really not. there's not a whole lot to say about it, other than I was looking at IMDb, the bottom 100 list, and The Hottie and the Naughty with 2,500 votes is already the worst movie of all time.
Number one worst movie
of
all time in its only week of release.
Yes. So,
but does that mean that 2,500 people actually saw it?
Yeah, I mean, it made $40,000. Does that even add up? Not really.
I
think this may be a conspiracy against
I'm thinking a lot of people voted for it just because.
But there was nobody there to rescue it, though. That's the point.
Right.
So it's a bad movie either way. That's all we need to know. So
I have no doubt.
Also, I think we might have talked about this last week. The Arrested Development movie is in development. Will Arnett came out this week and said that he's totally in. You know that? I mean, why wouldn't they come back for that? You know, why wouldn't Arnett and Bateman and Jeffrey Tambor?
Jessica Walters,
yeah, why
Portia de Rossi. I mean, absolutely.
None of them
why
are
not?
Huge. I mean, except for Jason Bateman,
right?
Who's getting huge?
He's getting huge, but I mean, he's still, you know, right.
He's still the Arrested Development guy,
right?
In my
exactly.
mind,
and I mean, I think the only reason that is going to be one hard script to write.
True.
I mean, think about how complex those 30-minute those episodes are. And I'm trying to do a 90-minute version of that.
Yep.
On the plus side, how much fun can you have with
90 minutes
of you know, drunk Jessica Walters, Tony Hale, the mind boggles. Plus, I think this movie will probably have more cameos than Strangers with Candy. You know,
totally.
There are going to be dozens of people who want to get in that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at the people who are on the show. I mean, Charlize Theron.
And
what
was the guy
Scott Baio had the greatest character name. Bob Loblaw.
Bob Loblaw.
Bob Loblaw. That is the best character name since like Ratso Rizzo.
Nice.
Awesome.
So Moving right along, as always. Doug Liman was talking about his next project. His next project is going to be the story of Valerie Plame, the CIA agent who was outed. And Nicole Kidman's going to star. So it's kind of cool.
I think that's going to be very cool.
Yeah.
And I like the idea, too, that Liman's getting away from action movies.
Yeah.
I mean, he's good at them, but he doesn't seem to enjoy making them very much, which is odd that he's made three in a row. But right. I remember reading that The Bourne Identity was really hard for him, and I think Mr. and Mrs. Smith had its problems too.
Right.
So yeah, I think this is a good move for him, and I'm looking forward to it.
I'm down with it. I'm down with Nicole Kidman. She's a good actress.
Who's gonna write the script?
I don't know.
God, please let it not be Aaron Sorkin, with, you know, where he can just do a whole bunch of finger wagging at everybody.
Oh yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Next up, speaking of Doug Liman, and speaking of a movie that will have no finger wagging because it won't have time to, because it'll probably be only like 65 minutes long. He was also talking about the potential Jumper 2, if the movie takes off, which it may, despite Hayden Christensen.
It opens with Christian Bale killing Hayden Christensen.
If it opens, yeah.
And then Eric Bana pissing in his dead skull.
Still in characters from Terminator and Star Trek, though. So, but he mentioned that there might be time travel in the next one, which could be fun. But I would say, as long as, like you said earlier, when we were at break, as long as he doesn't hand it over to Paul Greengrass, because now that would be an acid trip of a movie, because you got the shaky camera and then people are just warping.
Right, traveling in time.
God, that would mess me up.
Puke central.
You would have to drink a lot and smoke a lot of pot.
Right. You will get wet. It'd be like going to a Gallagher concert. People are going to just be puking.
Nice.
Just wear like trash bags over your clothes.
So last, but certainly not least, we're going to talk about the new Hollywood fad, which is suing people. No more upskirts. No more drunken behavior. It's just sue your neighbor.
Well, why not? I mean, you know, what easier way to make money than to just take him from somebody else who's already made, you know,
exactly.
made
a and assume that you're just entitled to it. We have J.R.R. Tolkien's family suing New Line, which this is like the fourth lawsuit over Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Apparently, they didn't get paid at all. And I was shocked.
Which is hilarious.
Like, how do you not get...
I love it when they say you make $6 billion on a movie, and then all of a sudden the accountants are like, yeah, well, you know what? We just don't have any money for you.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What did you snort it all? Did you blow it on hookers and coke?
Exactly. What in New Zealand costs that much money that it's all gone? You know? I don't know,
man. Oh, gosh. How much did they give Peter Jackson when they settled his suit?
$5.9 billion,
something
I'm sure.
Like that. Right. Yeah, that's it. Like that. That was it. That's what they're like. Sorry, go blame Peter Jackson.
Yeah,
it's all
like,
his fault.
Peter Jackson got all of it. So we've got nothing left for you. So, right. But I don't understand that, how, you know, the people who own the rights to the source material didn't get paid.
No.
That's some tricky accounting. I actually want that accountant so that, like, right. I can hire people.
You'd never have to pay taxes the rest of your life.
Exactly.
If you had that accountant.
He's probably that good.
Yeah.
So anyways, the other one was 20th Century Fox is suing Warner Brothers over the movie Watchmen, which is in production. They're saying that they do own the rights to Watchmen, and they would like the production of Zack Snyder's movie shut down.
And they're doing this now.
Until they get money. Yeah, that's
it's
the
like
other
they
thing.
Just now found
it's
out
like
they were making
great
this movie.
Timing, you know.
Do they just want to do it to try to hurt Warner Brothers the most? Like, they've sunk so much movie money into it that they can't stop.
Right.
So they're like, okay, wait, now, hit them.
Yep, exactly. My comment was, the first time we really talked about Watchmen was at Comic-Con last year, and Fox decided not to show, so it doesn't surprise me that they didn't know. I mean, they didn't bring any of their movies to Comic-Con.
But they had to know that was in the pipeline. I mean...
How did they not know?
Right.
It's
exactly.
all over the place.
They knew.
So.
They just waited for God knows what reason. I mean, we actually had a guy who was on the set of Watchmen.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we had a guy in California. He knows Jackie Earle Haley somehow.
Nice. Who was very awesome in Semi-Pro, which we'll
talk
about next week.
Awesome. I don't know if it's quite a cameo, but it's...
it's really
every time
stuff.
He's on screen, you will not be able to stop laughing.
Yes.
But anyway, he was on the set, you know, and they were showing him around, and he got access to everybody in the movie, including Zack Snyder. And he just came back smitten. He was all excited.
Yeah.
He was like pumped for this movie.
It
and now
cool.
Fox is trying to shut it down. It's like
douchebags.
Like, what are you doing? I mean, really.
Right. I mean, this is almost as bad as what Fox does to the press.
Yeah.
Which is generally they're not screening their movies.
Right. You know, and they're getting better about it. They have started to give us.
Thank you for screening Jumper, by the way.
Yeah, they did screen Jumper early enough for us before, you know, and they did, I think, The Seeker and Megorium, movies that, you know, we didn't particularly like.
Right.
And the movies that we did like, they made us wait until the last minute, like The Simpsons and Live Free or Die Hard. They're getting better. But yeah, last year, I hated Fox.
Man. Hated them. So, and the last one, which is probably the most entertaining for me, is that Nicolas Cage is now suing Kathleen Turner over her forthcoming book that discusses when they were on the set of Peggy Sue Got Married, how apparently he stole a dog and got really drunk and then took a car and then drove it.
You, like, get the dog high or something.
I have no idea.
Right.
But we don't know what's in the book because the book's not out yet, but he's really mad at Kathleen Turner.
I just can't see her making this kind of stuff up.
Why?
Nicolas Cage is in his mid-20s. You know, I'm picturing him playing bongos naked.
Right.
You know. So.
If I were Nicolas Cage, I'd be like, I did it.
Yeah. So right. What? Exactly. You
know? I'm Nicolas Cage. I was Ghost Rider. Okay.
Right.
What are you going to do?
I have no shame.
I don't understand.
What's the worst you can say it about me? I was in Ghost Rider.
It's like, geez, man, what do these celebrities think? Like that their esteemed reputation is like gonna go down the crapper. I mean, he's done some terrible movies.
Right, he named his son after a Superman character. You know?
Exactly.
I mean,
what more do you need? Right. Who cares if you stole a dog?
Right.
I don't get it.
Unless he still has, does he still have the dog?
Probably.
Right. Well, the dog would be dead by now.
She's like,
I want
the dog.
25 years old.
She can go on Ellen's show and they can cry about dogs together. It'll be great.
Oh, God.
So with that, we are done with the Sound Off segment. That also brings our internet-only segment to a close. We will be right back with some more family-friendly content. And we're back here on Fat Guys and Movies, and Dave, I just got a text message from Kevin.
Oh, yeah?
Not too long ago.
What did it say?
It didn't say a lot. It just said, send bail money.
Oh, no.
And you could tell he was typing it really fast because he didn't get all the letters right.
Yeah.
And he spelled bail, B-A-L-E.
B-A-L-E? Like Christian Bale?
Like Christian Bale.
It's like the bit set me up at the after it. Yeah. Didn't quite get all the letters out.
So we don't really know if Kevin's coming back next week, but we're going to continue on with this show despite him. So we'll move on to our DVD roundup.
And if you want to donate money to the Kevin Carr...
The Save Kevin Carr Foundation, you can give us a call at 614-388-8735. No one's calling
us. Or if you'd like to contribute to the prosecution, I'm sure the state of California will happily take your donations.
Yes, especially if you're part of the group Mothers Against Everything.
Kevin Carr.
Mothers Against Kevin Carr. It's Mac. M-A-K-C.
Actually, the founder of that group is Dane Cook, I think.
Yes, Dane Cook is the founder of a lot of anti-Kevin Carr groups around the world. So, but I did find out last week that Zach Galifianakis is on our side.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever hear back from him?
No, not. Well, I haven't talked to Brian, who knows him, I suppose. But we'll find out for you at some point about the Dane Cook thing. But we do have to do a DVD roundup. Here's what we do, DVD picks of the week, but I know we looked at it and it's like.
This is the lamest list of DVD releases I've ever seen.
I'm just going to run down the list here. My pick of the week is Gone Baby Gone. That's, I think, could be both of our picks of the week, even though you didn't see it.
I didn't see it because it was one of those, you know, child in peril movies. And
with
the newborn son. I'm like, there were like a dozen movies with that theme, and I just skipped them all.
Right. And I'm the one who's stalking Miley Cyrus, so I'm totally into that. But we all said We Own the Night comes out, which I think was just a... We all saw it. It was
middling.
Just disappointing.
Yeah, it was. There was nothing. Nothing
great
no
except
tension,
the first scene with Ava Mendez.
Yes,
where she gets very
and it went all wrong.
Very
after
sexual,
that.
And then it just goes downhill. We have Becoming Jane for all you Jane Austen fans out there, none of which are here in the room right now. And we have No Reservations, which I heard wasn't too bad, but that was the screening where the print didn't show up, so we didn't see that. Remember that?
Right. I didn't see that. Jason was at that one. I skipped that one. Nice.
And we had Romance of Cigarettes, which I heard got torn apart.
Oh yeah, one of our guys covered it and hated it.
So
just hated it.
The Family Ties, season 3, which I mean, how can you go wrong with Family Ties? You know, we had Martian Child, which I actually enjoyed. Didn't get the DVD, so I couldn't say whether the special features are any good or whatever. But I thought it was pretty cute. John Cusack, I got a soft spot for him. Why Did I Get Married, which was Kevin Carr's favorite movie of all last year. Tyler Perry. So we also had, Tyler Perry also had another DVD come out, which is, what's it called down there? What's Done in the Dark? Oh, that one sounds very sexual.
Yeah.
I think we're going to move on now.
Right.
Speaking of sexual, The Amateurs, which is about a small town that makes their own adult movie. That's pretty fun.
That actually sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's got Jeff Bridges. So the dude makes porn.
Right. Well, as long as he's not in it. I mean, hopefully he's just behind the camera.
Yeah.
Not in front of it.
So I'm not sure.
I don't think I want to see the dude making porn.
I don't think so either.
No.
Which one are you pointing at?
Oh, The Equalizer. Our guy Will is all excited about The Equalizer. Oh yeah.
I've never even heard of it. I'm not gonna lie to you.
No.
So, but it. I mean,
he's got the set.
If people are being equalized, I'm there. You know. I don't know about you. But also, In the Shadow of the Moon comes out on DVD. It's a documentary from last year, which I really enjoyed.
I wanted
enjoyed.
To see that. Yeah. I don't know how we got I screeners. Missed it. We did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we did. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
I think I might have one
I
for
don't
you
think
then.
I have one.
So there you have the DVD roundup. Absolutely nothing. Hold out for next week. There's some better ones coming out next week, I think.
American Gangster.
Beowulf. No, Beowulf's the week after, I think. No, American
right.
Gangster.
Michael Clayton
are coming out next week.
Yeah, that's already better than.
So, yeah, just wait for American Gangster. Right. So wrapping up our reviews, we reviewed 4 films this week, one of which neither one of us saw, but we'll start with the one that you saw, which is Definitely Maybe.
Definitely Maybe. I think I gave that a kind of rocks.
And it was a definitely kind of rocks, not a maybe kind of rocks.
Yes.
We had Step Up to the Streets, which was screened for critics. We just both chose not to see it because. We can pretty much promise you that it's going to kind of suck.
Yeah.
At least kind of suck.
Pretty sure that's going to suck.
So, and then we had Jumper, starring the cracker himself,
Mannequin.
Hayden Christensen.
it kind of rocks in spite of him.
I agree.
And
also,
a number of other things.
Kind of rocks, one, because of Sam Jackson with white hair, two, because people can teleport to anywhere they want.
And that's pretty cool.
Which
even if it's
cool.
Just teleporting to the refrigerator.
Exactly.
Or like an extra 6 inches on the couch to grab the remote.
It's still cool. So, and then we both saw Spiderwick Chronicles, which
rocks.
I liked.
Yeah.
Totally rocks.
I really liked it.
I enjoyed it better than that old that Harry Potter thing.
Didn't Kevin say that was his favorite movie of the year so far?
So far. But, I mean, you got to remember that it's for funny. Kevin is a short list, and we have not
right.
had the Larry the Cable Guy movie yet.
Right.
So that will definitely surpass
it. So. Yeah, of course, it's February, so what's it up against?
Right.
Roscoe Jenkins and Mad Money.
Well, and Rambo.
Right. Untraceable.
Oh, yeah. That was
Ugh.
Another.
Ugh.
But Diane Lane, so much better in Jumper.
Yeah. Even though she's in it for about 30 seconds.
Exactly. That's Yeah. Anyways, next week we're going to, Kevin will be back in the studio, I'm told, if we can get him out of jail. And we're going to talk about Vantage Point. We're also going to talk about Charlie Bartlett, a movie that's been coming out for a long, long time, finally making its theatrical debut. Be Kind Rewind and the Larry the Cable Guy movie.
The not screened for us, Be Kind Rewind.
Yes, the unfortunately not screened for us, Be Kind Rewind.
But we're not bitter.
No, not bitter at all. But if you'd like to get a hold of us, fatguysthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Send us an email, fatguysfilmschoolrejects. Or just call us, 614-388-8735. That's all I got.
Don't pick up the soap, Kevin. I have had it with these motherfucking jumpers. Ha ha ha.